The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by CDW, Miller Lite, PNC, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access from Hallis Hall. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears tight end Zach Miller as the Bears try to go to 1-1 tomorrow in Tampa Bay. It's been a while since you guys won a road game.
Yes.
How do you get there? How do you – there's so
many – airplane.
you know what I mean. There's so many new pieces to this offense. And now you've been around, but there are a lot of new guys all working together. It's a lot harder on the road to get everyone to operate as one.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is being on the road. You got an extra element of being able to communicate with the crowd noise. So that's kind of the biggest thing, but it just comes down to execution.
Nothing like throwing you under the bus in the first question out of the box, huh? You know,
yeah,
what does
one in a while?
All right, you know, you have a lot of different aspects to your game. When you play an opponent that you don't see that often, different division and stuff like that, but you did play them last year, do you think you have more of an advantage because they don't know you that well, or does it take you a quarter to get to know the type of player you're playing against and how they want to feature you?
I have a little different philosophy as far as going in and knowing an opponent and studying and doing. I want to know them. I want to know who I'm going up against, but I don't want to overdo it and slow down my read and react to the game, because the game is fluent. It's moving, and I don't want to have a look and say, okay, this is what I saw over and over and over again, and then I don't read and react. I go back to what I saw prior to instead of reading into the game. So I'm cool with having different opponents.
Do you have a different feel tomorrow than you would when you play Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota twice a year, and you see them so frequently on film, because when you're preparing for a team, there's a good chance that you're going to see those guys a few times.
And there's some unscouted looks. I think that's part of the reason that we do things the way we do throughout the week and get unscouted looks in practice, and this stuff that you're not going to see teams that we see two times a year. So there's that element to it.
Visiting with Bears tight end Zach Miller. The reason I brought up the Tampa Bay thing is, I don't know, Tom, if you remember this, the last road win did occur in Tampa Bay.
I don't remember that, but
2 years ago.
2 years ago. That's a huge game for the Bears.
Right.
They played well in that game and came up with the victory. I think that one of the things that stands out to me is there's a different attitude, I think, heading into Tampa this time around, just based on the way you guys showed some signs against the Atlanta Falcons last week.
Yeah. You know, for us, there's a different feel. There's a different belief behind the belief now. Last week we said, you know, I said there's no such thing as moral victories, because there's not. Only thing that matters is the win-loss column. But we came out and we fought to the bitter end. You got four chances inside the five. You got to find a way to get it done. But we're ready to take that next step, go on the road, and hopefully get another win.
You know, I think with the injury to Kevin, I think there's more responsibility that has to fall on the shoulders of the tight end position. And I say that because you guys are a talented group. What Deion can do, what you can do, what Adam Shaheen is eventually going to be able to do, and what Daniel Brown can possibly offer. I think when you look at the Bears and where how you need to move the football to get in a scoring position, I think, you know, you guys have to take some responsibility in the future of the Bears.
Certainly. Like you said, a talented group. We take pride in that. And Dowell does a great job of putting everybody in different places to kind of help us maneuver as an offense. Everybody has to shoulder that load. You know, with Cam going down, Kev going down, those guys are going to step up within that wide receiver group, but everybody else is going to have to step up as well.
And I'm only going to bring this up because you have experience at this. Have you had a chance to talk to Kevin White about his mental state that he should have going forward?
I have. And the message is just stick to what you know, your end goal. You know, because right now it sucks.
Right.
He knows it. You know, I know it all
everybody,
too well.
Everybody does. I mean, everybody feels sorry for the kid. Yep. But, you know, he needs to look at a guy like you that's having success of his career right now, but you've experienced some of those obstacles that you need to overcome.
And right now it's just you fight every single day through, you know, inside your own mind. You know, the what ifs, all you do is control what you control. That's it. And for him, it is rehab on a daily basis. Boring, monotonous stuff that isn't fun, but you got to see the end goal. And when that gets done and his body is ready to get back to being able to play football, you go back to playing football and you block everything out. You don't worry about what was, you worry about what can be and what will be. And that's kind of how he's got to approach it.
Who helped you through that process? And when you first got hurt as an NFL player, was there enough that you had done on the field in any capacity where you felt, man, I can do this. If I get myself back, I know I can do this.
Yeah, and it was always – I had – you know, for me, I was lucky enough to get an opportunity. When I was hurt, when I got back, I was able to flash and get another opportunity and show it, and then, you know, something else happened. I always had those instances where, okay, I flash, and like, okay, he'll still be able to do it. But you got to grind back and get back to playing ball 100% and let it take care of itself.
All right, coming up this Sunday, I'm kind of a Heat sissy. Ooh. If I would have looked at the schedule before when it came out, I would have looked at the Tampa game, second game, with all that. Are you a Heat? Does Heat affect you? Because, you know, you guys are playing more snaps. You know, it's not like you got a group of four and there's one tight end. You start the game, there's three tight ends. You know, there's two tight ends in mostly all the time. What about – would you rather have this game at the beginning of the year or later on down the road?
Well, we're friends, so we can be honest, right?
Yeah.
I would 100 out of 100 times rather play that game in December.
Thank you.
Well, no. All right. You know, for example, is when the Super Bowl year, when we got beat by Miami on Monday Night Football, we went down there and it was 80-plus degrees on Monday Night Football. So there's no guarantee you're going to escape the heat. But – are you in better condition right now? Are you more used to the heat because of training camp and the practices and stuff?
Now, here's the thing. The only reason I don't care about going – I played in Florida for 5 years.
Right.
So I'm aware of what that's going to be like. Me playing that game in December is I get out of a cold game here in December.
Right.
So it goes both ways.
You can really open it up.
Yes.
But don't you feel – if you play outdoors in December here in Chicago, the way it usually is – don't you feel a heat impact if you go inside a dome in Detroit or Minnesota?
Yeah, but it's not as uncomfortable as 92 degrees and 70% humidity. And when you're an offensive lineman and you're expected to play every down, there's a little bit more psychology of it going on in your head.
But did you guys did not train like they do from the standpoint with all the nutritionists that they have now, the sports science, all that kind of stuff, right?
I wish we had the sports science department, Jen Gibson, that provided the proper hydration tactics they have now.
And the stuff that they offer is real. I mean, it can really help. You know, I was actually speaking to her this morning about when to start preparing for that, and she said now.
Yesterday.
right. but like you said, psychological. I mean, if you really prepare for that and you're well aware of what it can be, I think you go in and kind of have somewhat of an advantage.
We have to take a time out. When we come back, we're going to talk about the smallest man at Halas Hall who is making...
Tony Medlin?
No, I think this guy might actually be smaller than Tony Medlin, the longtime esteemed head equipment manager of the Chicago Bears. But you know what? His name is now in the marquee. I mean, this guy has become a rocket star over the last week. We're talking about Tariq Cohen. That's next with Zach Miller. Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 11:05 p.m. for unique Bears stories and interviews. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Zach Miller, always love talking football with Zach Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears have their first road game of the season coming up tomorrow in Tampa Bay, and that was in doubt a little bit. We didn't know at the beginning of the week whether or not the Bears would go down to Tampa. Do you still have a lot of people that you know that live down there from your time spent both in Tampa and Jacksonville?
Yeah, there's a few on each team, and then, you know, a couple guys who are past their playing days and still down in the area.
So, did you have any storms that you had to endure during your time there?
Never big like just recently, right. Pastor. You have your summertime thunderstorms who really come throughout every single day and cool off and then bring 110% of humidity, but nothing crazy like what just happened.
Zach mentioned before the commercial that we're going to mention Tariq Cohen, because I was reading some of the transcript of Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, and he's going, one of the benefits of the coaches being able to watch the game this Sunday was they became aware of Tariq Cohen. And it's amazing that how quickly a guy can become that guy by, you know, I think 8 catches and a couple of big runs and making guys look bad in open space and stuff. So I think it'll be fun now, because now, you know, it's more how you build upon what he's doing that will help the other players on offense.
Absolutely. He's an impact guy, regardless of where you put him. And
he's a compact impact guy.
Compact impact guy. And now I think you got a little taste of what he can do all over the football field. I was talking after the game, and I said, you know, regardless of his stature, that he's a man. I mean, that is a man out there making plays left and right, taking shots, hopping up like nothing even happened.
Could you believe that? I mean, this guy was – and I'm down there on the sidelines. You're on the field while this is going on. I mean, because you could see the Falcons. They're licking their chops. Yeah. Every defender, you know, you want to crush a guy who looks like me on the field. And I was just amazed after the game. I interviewed Tariq Cohen at the 50-yard line, and Falcons defenders are coming up to him and giving him props and acknowledging, man, that's something that you were able to do out there. Yeah. That doesn't happen all the time after games.
No. And when you see it for the first time and you understand he's going to be a special player for a while, I think, you know, those guys, they get to compete with him and see him, you know, put on a type of performance like that. They want to show their respect. And, you know, let him know that, you know, not only what he did week one was impressive, but just wish him luck on his journey. I mean, guys want to show him a little bit of respect in that way.
Yeah, he's the type of once-a-year guy that can really scare the heck out of you. Because I guarantee you, the preaching of the defensive coaches is going to be, don't over-pursue. Don't get yourself out of position. You better get low when you're going to try to tackle him. Because, you know, it's amazing that as tall as he is when he bends his knees and he bends at his waist, the tackling target is really small. But then if you don't hit him properly, he spins out of it. He runs away from you. So it's going to be fun for us as Bears fans to be able to watch him.
He has such a unique ability that you can't really teach ball carriers. And he's so good with his leverage and his body angles when he takes those shots of taking the blow of the impact and using it to kind of propel him and move him forward or keep him up on his feet. He has this innate ability to keep himself rolling. So
right.
It's special.
You're considered a dynamic athlete out there on the field. When you see there was one play where Tariq was running as a ball carrier from the south part of Soldier Field to the north, right near the Bears bench, and there was the stop and go movement. Now I don't think people realize how difficult that is to stop and then restart at full speed, and it's almost like a basketball player with a crossover dribble. And you watch these defenders just flying by. That's amazing that he can do that.
And you get to see it firsthand. Well, the one thing it does for you as a football player on a teammate of his is it keeps you on your toes, because you have to continue to be in the play, opposed to, you know, sometimes guys got a ball carrier and you can assume play's over. Not with him. You just never know, so you got to play till the whistle's blown.
Well, you know, being a tight end man on the line of scrimmage, whether you're play side or backside, you think of that run that he had last week. That Brooks Reed, the outside linebacker, over pursues and loses contain. Then the next thing you know, he's running backwards. But like, is that the thought process that you have? Is okay, even though I'm on the backside tight end, I may be at the point of attack by the time this play gets going.
You never know. That's the beauty of being his teammate, and that's the beauty of, you know, what he can offer, just explosiveness on every single play, every time he touches a football.
Now, be honest with me, because he said, and Tom, you heard this when we were interviewing him after the game, he said, those hits, they don't affect me. I mean, the stuff that the people do in practice here at Alice Hall, that's a lot worse than anything I felt in the game. Come on. I mean, you're out there, and you've been hit hard, too, but I mean, the hits that he was taking, that's unbelievable to be able to pop right back up. And it's as though he wants more. You know, he jumps up and he welcomes it. That's fearlessness.
He's fearless. There's no doubt about it. I told him, I said, listen, start protecting yourself a little bit because I don't want to see you take those shots. But just like you said, I mean, he took them, he bounced up, and he kept coming back for more. He doesn't shy away from it. I gotta believe him.
Well, I mean, his experience in college has to lend you to believe that he's got that innate ability to predetermine how he's going to get tackled. Mm-hmm. He's got a certain amount of toughness where he can have double-digit carries repeatedly one game through the next and stuff. So, a lot of times it makes it more challenging to a defensive player because they're kind of coming under balance. They're thinking about how they're going to tackle him, and he's going to take those shots, but he's going to make people miss a lot more than he's going to take humongous shots.
Certainly, and I think he takes pride in that because a lot of people didn't believe in him. A lot of people said he can't take an NFL hit. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. So these are things that people said about him, and he turned into motivation. And you can see he very much can do all of the things that they said he could.
God, he and Jordan, man, they are such a solid 1-2 punch because what Jordan can deliver and the way that tacklers have to approach the way Jordan, he reads things so well inside. He delivers a punch at the end of the run. And then you got Tariq Cohen, who's completely opposite of what Jordan Howard is.
Definitely. Which defenses now have to prepare for completely two different players.
Little Wildcat was fun to watch. You know what's funny is that one Wildcat play and Tariq Cohen is taking the snap. All the defensive players in the box kind of froze for a second just to see what was going to happen, and then he hands off to Jordan Howard and gets in. So it was neat to see already the influence he has on defensive personnel by taking the snap.
Yep, and you know as well as I, it just takes that little split second.
Right.
So
that's right.
That's the name of the game.
And he said he was kind of mum about this after the game, but I think there's a part of him in his background where he did throw the football. So that's something. I think you've just scratched the surface of what this guy can eventually do in real games. And that's why you can just see Zach Miller. We're on the radio, but Zach Miller's smiling because you've seen all this stuff out on the practice
field. But Zach's
field.
Throwing the football too. Yeah, so next thing you know, a tight end around pass by Zach.
And here's another thing about Tariq Cohen.
We might start drawing some plays up here.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting, when you have a dynamic player, like you mentioned, and he's beginning to grow as an NFL player. It is exciting to watch. And he's also, I think he's going to be a leader, too, because I saw him on the sideline. There was, I forget, late in the game, he's standing up, and he's the guy talking on the sideline saying, you know what, the pressure's on them. And he's pointing to the Falcons. That's got to be refreshing to have that kind of swagger because I think it's important in the NFL when you have teammates that believe that way.
Yeah, and the thing about him is he believes it. He's a great teammate. He's electric on the football field, but he is also infectious with his attitude off of it, energetic. So. I mean, you can't say enough about him.
And you get to buy his jersey actual size.
Right.
And it fits,
And it fits. It ain't down to your knees.
Right.
In this case, it really is a jersey.
Right.
When you think about it. All right, let's take a time out. We'll come back. We just devoted an entire segment to Tariq Cohen. That tells you the kind of impact he had last week against the Atlanta Falcons. When we come back, there's some other members of the Bears offense, and we learned a little bit about some of the new players last week against the Falcons. We'll get your take. Zach Miller is here. So is Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get around-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year round direct to your device. Sometimes the conversations that we have on Bears All Access during the commercial break, because, we get so heated during the actual segments, we almost need a continuation. Like an online look at what happens during the breaks, because, man, would it be fun. It's Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, is with us as we talk some football. Bears getting set to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road tomorrow, which means a return for Mike Glennon to his old stadium, his old stomping grounds, where he spent the first 4 years of his NFL career. He's well-liked down there. And you can see, I mean, now that you've spent a little time with him, you can understand why. But I was reading some quotes this week from Gerald McCoy, the big-time defender for the Buccaneers. And, you know, and I don't know if he's saying this because he's trying to be nice, but you know, if you're an ex-teammate, he wants to sack this guy like there's no tomorrow. But, you know, he's saying all the nice things. I guess he texted Mike after the game against the Falcons and told him he did well. And, you know, he wants to face him, but he's afraid because, you know, this guy can do some damage. I think he's just trying to butter him up.
Here's the thing. I mean, we're all – you build these relationships throughout. I mean, you're friends at some point. But when you're playing your former team, friendship goes out of the window for 60 minutes. And I don't care who says what, when you are playing your former team, you want to beat them as bad as you can with the most amount of stats you can ever have. That's just how you are as a human,
right?
Human nature.
Hey, if Gerald McCoy gets an opportunity to get a shot at Mike Glennon, he's not going to slow down and hit him passively as he's driving him to the ground. He's going to do it like the reputation he has. He's a great football player. Yep. So, but I think, you know, you also grow to respect the teammate too, and he probably respects him as much off the field for his work habits and his preparation and what he did for Tampa's defense during the week,
yep,
as he's enjoying seeing the fruits of his labor here in Chicago.
This must mean a great deal to him, simply because when he was down there, twice he lost his job as a starter, and it had nothing to do with performance. It's just the business of the NFL. Lovie Smith came in at one point, brought Josh McCown as the starter, and then after that they drafted Jameis Winston, who was the number one overall pick. So you can understand why at that point Glennon knew that he was going to go elsewhere when the opportunity arose. He comes here, and now he's got that opportunity to at least leave them thinking that they missed out on something.
Yeah, and I don't think Mike has any ill will towards Tampa. I think he enjoyed all his time down there. But it's still your former team, and not only that, they're the next one on the schedule. So for him, I think it's just business as usual with a little bit extra sprinkled on it.
Well, you know what? As a quarterback, you don't have time to dwell on it because you have so many responsibilities to be good at your job. You have to think about that. It's not about like being a defensive lineman that transfers from one team to the next, trying to beat the worst pass rusher they have on the offensive line and take it out on them. Mike, you know, he's got so many responsibilities to 10 other guys in the huddle and everything else that goes on. Yeah,
perfect. I mean, you explained that perfectly. He can't let emotion get in the way of all the responsibilities that he has. So I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
He also, Gerald McCoy said that, you know, the guy's 7'7", so he has an easy time seeing it. You called him a skyscraper last week, but is it that much of an advantage? I mean, you've blocked for a lot of tall quarterbacks, Tom.
Well, I think he's fortunate to have a longer center in Cody because he can stand up and still see a good view of the defense when he's going through his cadence. And then when he's shotgun, he can see over everybody easily. So I think you have to use your assets in the way you use them. He doesn't have the legs of Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson can't see over the line of scrimmage like Mike Glennon. So I think you see evidence of it when he's moving personnel around. He sees the defensive changes and, you know, keeps that thought process going and what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, he gets to sit back there, look over some guys. I mean, there's guys who, if they want to stay in the pocket, your shorter guys, Russell, Drew Brees, those guys, they got to move around, find a throwing lane.
Right.
Mike can kind of see over, make throws over. He's got high release points, so he's got an advantage there.
He talked this week, Mike Glennon did, about avoiding the negative plays that the Bears had offensively a week ago. How do you bottle up the ability to move the ball the way you guys were able to late in the game and turn that into a more consistent thing?
It's just we got to start faster, I think. You know, I don't know for whatever reason, you know, if we open it up earlier or do whatever. I don't know why, you know, late in the game we're able to start doing that. It's just probably an execution thing early on. You know, I know we want to control the clock, you know, be a strategic football team. So we just got to figure out how to do that and move the ball at the same time.
I was encouraged by those last drives because, you know, if you came out of the box and you went a 15-play drive and then after that you just derailed and stalled, you know, okay, you started getting the feel of the game. You started understanding where you wanted to go with the football. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, Glennon, bam, twice down the field. He's got really good control drives. And, you know, if things will go, you know, you have opportunities to build upon the last two drives more than if you would have done it the first drive and then stalled the rest of the game.
and I think that last drive was like 16 plays.
Yeah, and threw it every time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a positive things, but the end all be all get to that point. You know what we need to do. So, encouraging, in a sense, but also let's finish this thing.
Are the routes for tight end and routes for wide receivers, is there any similarities between the two, or are they completely different types of routes?
No, I mean, they're similar. For us, it's all concepts, so you can really move people and put them in different positions, and you're all learning the same routes. Now, there's a few where you get the guys on the outside that the depth and the things that – you get for tight ends, say Deion and I are put in a position where we're running, you know, 18 to 22 yard routes that the receiver's running. Depth might be a little shorter. Timing's got to be a little bit different. So in that sense, you got to just switch it up for timing purposes. But for most of the time, they're the same.
It just, you know, watching Kendall Wright, it seems like the more he's a really good route runner, mm-hmm. and he's quick. And the more routes he runs, the better he gets, and the more familiar the quarterback will get with the receiver. So, I'm super discouraged for the person Kevin White, but I think from what I've seen out of Kendall Wright, I'm encouraged by his abilities, and that's why I was asking if there are similarities between your routes.
See, when I watch Kendall, the thing that I love about Kendall's game is he's so smooth.
Yeah,
he's running routes, and everything that he does is smooth. He's got a little bit of K-Dub to him.
Right.
That's it. You know, you can't explain his the way that he does things. I mean, he ran a route today in practice that was unbelievable. And the way that he came out of it, dropped a spin move, and that's K-Dub. Only he can do that. So he's got a little flavor that he puts on his stuff.
Wanted to ask you about Marcus Wheaton, because eventually he's going to be a big part of this offense. Now, you got to see him in the offseason when he was healthy. Uh-huh. What is he going to bring that will help this passing game out?
I think just another reliable weapon. For, you know, his early start to his career here, been unfortunate with the appendicitis, and then he gets back out of that, and first half right. of practice,
yeah.
I mean,
with the pinky.
Pinky pops out.
Yep.
Just unfortunate luck for him. But he's a good player, so we need to – get him back on the football field, and we have another weapon.
When I was doing a highlight tape of him when they signed him as a free agent, one of the things that most impressed me about Marcus Wheaton is his ability to track the ball for deeper passes over 20 yards, yep. over 25 yards. He's got an incredible ability to run, understand where the defender is, and still follow the flight of the ball. And, you know, you can talk about the difficulty of that is because you're thinking of so many things, and still, ultimately, you know, you got to catch that.
Toughest catch in the game, over the shoulder, down the field. You're tracking it. You don't want to track it for too long. That's the key. I think that's what he does great is he'll run out of his route. And instead of looking and running and you're looking and running, you're tracking the ball the whole time, he's running out of his route, dig, 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, and then he starts to look, timing, and you're not looking at it the whole way thinking, oh, God, here goes the ball.
So what's the distance that is, you know, that – you would
that's talk. One it kind those are kind of depending on what route you're running, but it's also a feel thing. Like for me, if I'm running a corner route, instead of right when I plant out of that break and then look
right,
I'll plant and I'll dig for 3-4 steps and then you go to track the ball.
Now why is that? Because you don't want to give it away to the defensive back?
It's multiple things. When you start and you look out, you're slowing down. If right. you're looking and running and you're turning, your body's turned a little bit. If you can dig out of your cut, you can increase a little bit of separation. And then for me, I don't like to be staring at the ball traveling through the air for 30 yards.
And thinking about it.
I'd rather just read and react.
Right.
Pop up,
right.
Ball's there.
Man, that's tremendous hand-eye coordination to be able to do that. I mean, at full speed, knowing that there's probably a guy that's
swinging. But that's what we're going to see out of Marcus Wheaton.
It's tough.
You take it. I mean, he's gonna catch some long passes.
Yeah, certainly. Ben Roethlisberger was effusive in his praise of Wheaton. Really liked him. And I think when a quarterback like that tells you that he likes this guy, unfortunately, the business of football got in the way. But for the Bears, hopefully it leads to productivity going forward. Got to take another timeout, right? Let's do that. We'll come back. And I've wondered about this because Mike Glennon got a lot of questions this week about, you know, what kind of secrets can he give away in regards to the Tampa Bay defense? Does that really work? I mean, you guys have been in the league for a while. Let's discuss next with Zach Miller. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Text the keyword Bears to 737737 or visit chicagobears.com/Dr. Pepper to enter the Dr. Pepper sweepstakes, your chance to win VIP experiences and game tickets. Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer, our guest Bears tight end, Zach Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. At the tail end of that game last week at Soldier Field, man, it was so loud. And I know it's tough because there's that dynamic where, as an offensive player, you want the crowd to be quiet when you're on a potential game-winning drive. But it was so cool to see the fans get into it because I think John Fox said this after, they're rooting so hard for a winner.
They deserve one. I thought the atmosphere was amazing. You had towels flying.
Yeah.
They were loud all day. Get to a point where the game culminates to this, the last play. I mean, it was an awesome atmosphere to play in. Wish we just had one thing different at the end.
The flyover is pretty cool. When that stealth comes over, that is just an amazing looking jet plane, whatever it's called, just coming over the sky of Chicago.
That whole thing, and then you got the national anthem
with
is unlike
John Cornelison. I mean, right. Oh, the big voice.
That's unlike any national anthem really in sports when he comes out and he does his performance, and you got the entire city of Chicago screaming throughout that whole thing.
Right.
Stealth bomber flight. I mean, you can't get any more American.
No.
So.
Man, everyone was fired up to start that game, and it turned out, as you mentioned, just a really good game. Unfortunately, the ending didn't go your way. So, and you've been in – I'll start with you, Tom, and kind of work it into this. When you hear people ask Mike Lennon if his knowledge of that Tampa Bay defense, because he used to practice against that, he was the scout team quarterback with the Buccaneers, do you think that helps, that truly helps going into this game, his knowledge of that defense and what he can tell his Bears teammates about what they do?
Not really. I think it's more beneficial that they've had the opportunity to see this style of defense against the Cleveland Browns and Atlanta and stuff, because now you're a little bit more familiar with the way the personnel lines up. And then now repetitiously, for the guys that have to understand their blocking assignments, they know what they have to do. I don't think Mike Lennon can sit there and tell them a lot of different intimate details of the defense. When I was playing for George Allen in the USFL, he had that reputation of picking up a guy that was cut that last week from that team, getting all the information out of him, and then cut him a couple of weeks later. So I it's too hard because you can't be think. If you think, you're beat. And so you can't sit there thinking.
The one thing I think on the flip side is now Mike knowing that offense.
Yes.
And what he can, because, I mean, he was in that system for 3 years or however long. What he can now pass on to our defensive personnel and players, I think, is a little more important than the reverse role.
You know, one thing Gerald McCoy did say in his press deal was that one thing about Mike Lennon, you get to understand his voice flexion. You understand his cadence. So now Mike has got to be able to break the huddle with enough time in the clock where he can alternate his cadence with a hard count and see if he can grow some susceptibility to those guys jumping off sides. And it's a rhythm that Zach probably knows Mike Glennon's rhythm right now of cadence, that if he goes to the line of scrimmage and he's not sure of the count, he knows it by the way he's saying it.
Certainly. You can hear just the little inflection in his voice, and that's things that's key to us, and Mike knows that. We're going to have to be good with the count all day long, especially on the road. Not sure how, you know, their crowd will be coming off, you know, the things that they've had going on down there. So, I mean, it could be crazy. You never know. I mean, it's their first game of the season coming off a hurricane. That could bring people together.
You didn't have any false starts this past week, did you? I know Cody had two penalties. He had a holding and illegal hands of the face, but I don't know if there. I don't think there was any false starts on the offensive line or the guys that can hear the cadence.
And I don't think we had any pre-snap stuff, which is good. The aggressive penalties throughout football is part of the game.
Right. You know, when Cody Whitehair is 6'5 plus and he's playing against Jared, who's 6 foot, that thing, that's going to happen. Your aiming point is going to go into his face mask.
So you avoid the pre-snap. Aggressive stuff's going to happen throughout the game.
I just think it's crazy what they've had to deal with. I mean, when you think about it, they were getting ready for one opponent, the Dolphins, to start the season. And then all of a sudden, the Wednesday before the game, you find out that's not happening. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with your own natural disaster that you probably didn't expect to deal with. And I guess guys were, you know, some of the Buccaneers went to Charlotte. Others went home. I know that Mike Evans was in Texas. And then they reconvene. And now all of a sudden you got to start worrying about football again. Mm-hmm.
Unique situation for them. You know, you look at it, they haven't really played football in a while.
Right.
I mean, that fourth preseason game.
True.
You know, those guys aren't really playing.
A lot of the defensive guys, the defensive stars didn't play during the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, super limited reps, less than 10.
Unique situation for them. That's just, you got to be able to adapt and adjust.
What stands out about what they do defensively?
Looking at it, obviously, Gerald up front is special. And then their whole core of guys in the middle, Levante, Quan, they got another rookie in there. Those guys are they're fast. You know, they're those guys that move around and fly all over the football field. They're really good at taking it away a year ago. Added T.J. Ward in the back end. So, I mean, they got guys on defense, you know, who are good at just flying all over the place and taking the ball away.
Are you glad you're going from natural grass to natural grass? Because I think a lot of times when you go from natural grass to sports turf or vice versa, it kind of changes your shoes, changes your thinking a little bit. So this should be a little bit of an advantage for you guys.
Yeah, and there is nothing like playing on Bermuda grass down in Florida. I would play on grass every day of the week.
Me too.
So definitely glad to be on a surface like that.
That might be the best surface in the league.
It's unbelievable.
Right?
It's like a putting green.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
They played the game yesterday, Illinois and USF, and, you know, it's going to look brand new when the Bears take the field against the Buccaneers. And and you got to practice on it and play in it when you were down in Tampa. Did you like the pirate ship?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool stadium. Now I don't ever want to hear it when I'm down there.
Right.
I hate hearing that thing. Sometimes if you're not ready for it, you get a little
startled a little bit.
Like, holy smokes. That thing's loud.
You gotta get something at Soldier Field that has that kind of like a bear growl that's a little bit louder. You know, something ferocious to intimidate the visitors that come to Soldier Field.
When the Bears get to a winning atmosphere, the stadium is the contributor of that. I don't think you need a ship in the end zone shooting cannons. I think the reaction that you get from the people is rewarding
enough.
From the
great people of the city of Chicago.
Yep.
Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Zach Miller with us. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Plenty of to discuss when we return, because I'm interested in finding out if you had to address the team in the hotel the night before this game, what would you say? We'll ask Zach Miller next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Tom Thayer's here, Zach Zaidman, joined by Zach Miller, the Bears tight end, previewing the Bears-Bucks big game tomorrow in Tampa Bay. Now, before each game, John Fox has a player step up in front of the team at the hotel and give a speech. Jarrell Freeman did it last week. His message was real simple. Just be you, because if you're you, it's good enough to win. And that almost happened to be the case. I'm guessing. I don't know. Usually it's a secret, so you don't know who it's going to be until the last minute. But I'm going to guess, just based on the circumstance, you're in Tampa. You've got Mike Lennon facing his old team. He's the quarterback, leader of the team. I'm guessing Mike's going to have something to say.
If I was a betting man, I would put my money on that.
Yeah, for entertainment purposes only,
but
of course.
I don't bet, so I can't try.
You know, you get the guy like the quarterback, when they give the pregame speech, it's a little bit more of a motivational talk.
Yeah.
It's not like Northdale's 40 where he's beating his head against the locker in front of his teammates. But, you know, Mike has got a lot invested in this game, in the game of professional football and the game against the Bears in Tampa. And it would be you know, for him to say, oh, I didn't think about this game when I saw the schedule come out, he'd be fibbing.
Yeah, he certainly would be. You know, it matters. They all matter. But, you know, this one for him, I think, just matters just a little bit more.
They always say the hay's in the barn. By the time you get on the plane and you make the trip down to whatever city you're playing, you've already put yourself in a position to either win or lose just based on the work that you've done throughout the course of the week. So what does a speech do? You know, because we often, I think people, it's more of a Hollywood thing when people talk about the Newt Rockne speeches. Well, does a speech ever work? Has it ever fired you up?
Yeah, I mean, they all work. I think it's just a message of, you know, that you get to deliver to your teammates. It's something. Sometimes it can be, you never, talking to your peers is one of the probably most nerve wracking thing, man. Right. We talk to anybody else, and that's how it is. But when it's people that you care about and that you work with on a daily basis, and you respect them, and you want to get that back, you don't want to come off corny. You don't want to. You just want to go and be real. Deliver a message, and it's not rah-rah. I don't think a lot of guys at this level need rah-rah speeches. It's something that's normally it's direct and it's real, kind of speak from the heart type thing.
Is there one that stands out over the course of your time in the NFL?
I write them all down. You know, I'm a note taker, and I take notes over silly. You guys would think it'd be what are you writing this down for? But that's just the habit that I have. Mm-hmm. I write them all down. They're pretty good. Off the top of my head, a couple years ago, Jay had one that was out of this world, with physics and something, and he had a whole presentation that sticks in my head. But they're all pretty good.
You know, one thing about Glennon going down to Tampa Bay, in 85 when we went down to play the Dallas Cowboys, Ditka always used to give the pregame speech. But he talked about how much he respected Tom Landry and how much Tom Landry taught him about football, and that he is the man he is today because of the coach on the other sideline. But everything is in reference to how badly he wants to win this game, because that is my mentor. Yeah. And we went out and we won the game 44-0, and it was a physically abusive game to the Cowboys. And then you think about Mike. Yeah. You know, here's a guy that's a similar scenario. Yeah. He played in this town. He was a successful NFL player. Business side of it, you move on. And so, you know, there's, even if it's a soft-spoken speech, there's got to be a lot of emotions inside of it.
Certainly. And I bet when Coach Ditka relayed that message to you guys and you understood what it was, you played just that much harder for him. To really fulfill that for him. So it could be similar with Mike going
exactly.
to Tampa.
That's the brotherhood that I think you talk about, that you can only relate to that when you've been working with those peers that you have from the start of the offseason. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you develop once the regular season. I mean, this is from the beginning, the first day you guys arrived at Hallis Hall for the offseason program.
Here's football is, it's a unique game in the sense that it's bigger than each individual person. So when you see Mike, in for instance, and you know that this means more to him, it means more to you because of that.
Right.
And so you want to do better and be better for him, because you know how special it would be for him in that instance. So it's a unique game, and when you really have those relationships and that bond throughout your team, brings you closer. You got to work just a little bit harder to fulfill something for somebody else.
Tom, I don't know about you, but I just got fired up listening to Zach talk about that.
Me too. I think it's a neat perspective to hear, because when you talk about talking in front of your peers, there's nothing more pressure-packed than talking in front of your peers. But then when you go on a Monday and you watch game tape, there's no more pressure than getting criticized in front of your peers, but you got to take it. You have to have thick skin, and that develops camaraderie. And so there's a lot of different aspects that make a team a team.
Yeah. I've got good news. The talking is over. It's time to play the game. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on the field tomorrow as the Bears play the Buccaneers. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, and Zach Miller, our guest. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by CDW, FanDuel, Verizon, and United Airlines.